The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is End Time Headlines. It is Monday, and it is the 22nd of March. We welcome you to the podcast and broadcast today. If you're watching this from Facebook Live or on YouTube, please let us know in the comment section below if A, that you're new, and B, where you guys are joining us from. We've got an interesting topic today. I want to talk about watching for this to happen when you decide to follow Christ. Watch for this to happen when you follow Christ. My context is going to be out of the book of Matthew. If you have a Bible, you can follow along with me, or you can just listen as I expound a little bit out of, again, Matthew chapter 10. let me give you a little bit of a backdrop on this to go right into what we're talking about today. Again, we welcome our podcast, YouTube, and Facebook Live, or wherever you may be listening and joining us, whether you're watching live or by the rebroadcast of this. The day that you decide to follow Christ and you truly want to be a follower of Him, to be born again, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the day that you make the decision that you are going to say yes to Him and follow Him, there's something that you need to be aware of, especially, listen to me, especially if you were like myself, who was raised in a household of unbelievers. In other words, what I mean by that, let me define that, is people that don't go to church. They may not have a formal background of the Bible, or they're not actively serving Christ. They have no relationship with Christ. In other words, living in a household, whether you are young enough, because I know we have viewers here that may be younger, and maybe you're still living with your parents, and your parents are unbelievers. Or let me throw this scenario out. Maybe you're a husband or you're a wife that's watching this, and you decide to say yes to the Lord, and your husband or your wife have not yet made that decision. They've not made the decision to follow Christ. So you have yourself who has decided to follow Christ, and you're yoked with an unbeliever or someone who is not following Christ. Or perhaps, let me throw another scenario. Or perhaps you have family, and granted, they may not be in the same household with you, but you have to see them on Thanksgiving, you have to see them on Easter, you have to see them on Christmas, you have to see them during special occasions like birthdays or weddings or perhaps funerals or perhaps graduations or some type of events where your family is always around you. And then one last scenario, and then we're going to get into this. Maybe you work, you're in an environment where no one knows Christ, and then you say you decide to follow Christ, you become born again. Now you're going back into an environment where you're the light in the midst of darkness. Now that's the backdrop of this, and this is what I want to talk to you about. This is something that you need to be aware of that is inevitably going to happen the day you decide to follow Christ. Here it is. And Jesus warned about this in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 34, and I'm going to go all the way down here to verse 39. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Do not think, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, I want to preface this by saying something here. The first coming, he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But his second coming, come on, when every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and then he rules and reigns as King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. That's when true peace will come. When he makes his enemies his footstool at the second advent, that is when peace will come. But we're dealing with the first coming, and this is the context here. Jesus said, "Don't think that I came to bring peace, but a sword." Now, anytime you see the word sword in your Bible, whether it's Old or New Testament, it references It really has a dual meaning. It can reference the word of God, or many times it can reference war. Somebody say war. So in this context here, where Jesus said, don't think that I came to bring peace, but a sword, he's saying, I have come to bring, and I got to elaborate on this, because if I don't elaborate on this, people will take this way out of context. So just give me a moment to really break this down. Here, let me put this in the proper Greek understanding of what Jesus is saying here. Don't think or get this notion that when you say yes to me, that I'm going to fill your home with peace. Your life will be filled with peace. Your family will be filled with peace. Your workforce will be filled with peace. Listen to what he says. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. In other words, when I step into something, there is going to be war that's going to follow. Now, let me elaborate what I'm saying, because listen, when the true presence of Jesus shows up, it begins to expose the darkness. It begins to bring to light the works of darkness. It begins to bring manifestation of demons, devils, and the assignments of hell, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your household. That's what Jesus is saying. Let's elaborate. Let's go on. Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, if you just read this with no understanding of the Greek understanding and breaking this down, it almost sounds like Jesus has come to divide households, and that's his intent, but it's not. What he's saying to you is, oh, come on. When Jesus comes into your life, when you are truly born again, when you truly surrender your life to him, your whole life is transformed. You're a new creature. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, your language changes, your actions change, your thought process changes. Listen, your whole life changes, even your lifestyle. So watch this. So if you were one that partied all the time, you were one that always went to the club all the time, you always did drugs all the time, you cussed like a sailor, cussed like a janitor, come on, cussed like a mechanic, you were very angry, you were very contentious, you were very jealous, you were very unforgiving. Listen, Jesus comes into your life, it totally transforms you, and now you don't even recognize the old you in your life. You look in the mirror and you may look the same physically somewhat, but you don't recognize yourself anymore. You find you don't lose your temper like you used to. You find that you don't talk like you used to anymore. You don't have a desire to do the drugs anymore like you used to. You don't have a desire to drink alcohol like you used to. You don't have a desire, to run with the crowds that you used to have a desire to run with. What happened? Your spirit man was transformed. It was renewed by the Spirit of God. Now, listen to me. If you're going to notice that, then what do you think everybody else is going to notice? Your boss is going to notice. Your employees are going to notice it. Your family's going to notice it. Your spouse is going to notice it. Your children's going to notice it. Come on, your mama, your daddy, your uncle, everybody in your proximity and who you associate with is going to say, what is wrong with you? What has happened to you? I don't recognize you. I every time I call you up and ask if you want to go smoke a couple joints, you keep turning me down. And you say, I don't need that anymore. Every time I try to get you to go to the club with me, you say, I don't do that anymore. Every time I try to get you to go to the bar on Friday night and drink a few, you say, I don't have that desire to do that anymore. How come you don't watch what you used to watch anymore? You don't like to listen to the music I listen to anymore. You don't like to dress like I dress anymore. I've noticed that you don't swear anymore. What is going on with you? Now listen, there is a few people that when you open your mouth and begin to testify of the Lord and begin to tell them of the transforming, glorious power of the gospel, there is a few cases where those, in either two things happen. Either they are so compelled by your transformation that it opens their heart and they receive Jesus Christ into their life and they become born again, or listen to me, or two, watch this, who was once your friend, who was once your companion, who was once your buddy, has now become your enemy. It's not that you're better than them. It's not because you become religious. It's because you become born again. And light cannot dwell with darkness, and darkness cannot compel, and darkness cannot confide with light. They don't mix. Read the book of 1 John. So listen what Jesus said. He said, when the gospel comes into your home, when the gospel comes into your household, when the gospel comes into your life, many times, listen to me, I'm paraphrasing Matthew 10 here, trying to break this down to make this more understandable. He said, many times it will bring a sword and it will produce daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and a man's enemies can be those of his own household. Listen, I'm trying to tell you what a lot of preachers won't tell you. I remember, listen, I can't tell you how many times I've had the privilege of baptizing young men and young women. We're talking about 10 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, having, to God be the glory, have the privilege of baptizing them in water. And they come up out of the water. Of course, they've been born again. They come up out of the water and they're joyous. They're excited. And then I can't tell. And I tell them, we would take classes with them and I would teach them this because I knew the backgrounds that they came out of. I knew the households they came out of. Listen, guys, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but some of these kids that I had the privilege of ministering to and baptizing, I'm telling you, I knew the homes that they came out of. I knew the mothers and fathers that they came out of. And I some of these kids came to me and they said, listen, if I go home and tell them that I am born again, gave my heart to Jesus and got baptized, they may disown me. They may not want anything to do with me. They may cuss me. They may come after you, preacher. What am I talking about? I'm talking about your enemies will be those of your own household. So I had to prepare them. And I let them know what they are dealing with before they ever got baptized. I said, listen, I want to baptize you. God wants you to be baptized. We want you to give your heart to the Lord, but you have to be prepared and know that when this happens, and you listen, it's all great when you're in the church. It's all great when you're with your brothers and sisters and you're in your home group and you're in your cell meeting and you're out with other brothers and sisters that are like-minded. But when you as the light step back in the environment that you came out of, which is darkness, friends, don't expect the darkness to be excited that the light has stepped into the room, because either two things are going to happen. Either they're going to be so compelled by your transformation that they're going to say, what must I do to be saved? Or they are going to revolt against you. And this is what Jesus is saying. And listen, I believe Jesus was telling them this because, listen, I'm about to get to verse 37. The Lord is saying here, you've got to be prepared, because listen to me, friends, on the other side of this podcast, on the other side of this YouTube video and on Facebook Live, you've got to make the decision now. Because the moment you step back in that environment and there is persecution because of his name's sake, you're going to have to face with the decision. You are either going to say, you know what? It don't matter what they say. It don't matter what they do. It don't matter what comes against me. As for me, I am going to serve the Lord. Or watch this. Or You are going to buckle under pressure because now you don't get to sit with the popular people at school. Come on, somebody. You don't get to sit with everybody you used to sit with at work when they sat around and gossiped about everybody. And they sat around and talked about who they slept with over the weekend and talk about the clubs they hopped and the bars they went to. And they get around and talk about all the foolishness that the world has to offer. But that's no longer you. And you no longer have anything in comparison with them. And God's calling you to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You are going to be faced with the decision. Come on. Are you going to choose to sit among the ungodly and in the seat of the scornful? Are you going to make His law your delight, and you're going to delight in it day and night and meditate in His word, that you may be a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth its fruit in its season? Listen, I can tell you by experience, you know how many jobs, when I used to work secular jobs before God called me into full-time ministry, I worked in construction work. I worked at a Walmart. I worked at a UPS logistics company. I worked at a retail center. I worked at a restaurant. I couldn't tell you how many times I sat by myself. Why? Why did I sit by myself? Either people got sick of the light or they got converted. So if I realized that people, listen, people understood where I stood and where I made my decision and where I stand on the gospel. So many times my lunch break was my food and the word of God. And I was perfectly fine with that. Listen, oh, come on, somebody. If we could just get content with not trying to be popular and not trying to fit in and not trying to be like everybody else and not try to be liked by everybody, who cares? Well, you know, they may not like me. Who cares? I may not be the popular one anymore. Who cares? They may not invite me to the Christmas party. Who cares? Oh, come on. I'd rather miss a Christmas party, an Easter party, and a birthday party, but still make it in, come on, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on, if there's one party I don't want to miss, come on, it's the party in heaven. It's the kingdom party. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's when that's the party I don't want to miss. And if it means I got to sacrifice a lot of earthly foolish parties here on this side of heaven and miss out being popular on this side of heaven and not being, come on, and fitting in, then that's okay with me. Because I remember in the gospel where a man stepped in and Jesus said, how did you get in here, friend, without a wedding garment? Look, we think we can live like we want to live all during the week and go into the church service on Sunday and come on, wear the same garment that we wore all week. I'm not talking about physical clothes. I'm not talking about pants or a shirt or a hat. I'm talking about wearing lasciviousness, wearing covetousness, wearing abomination, sexual immorality, talking like we want to talk, doing what we want to do, living like the world. We're wearing the world on us, living the flesh of the world. When Paul said, put on Christ Jesus. See, I'm telling you, Christ is like a three-piece tailored suit that we keep in the closet for special occasions. We don't wear it during the week. We don't wear it most of the time, but we only wear him on special occasions. I got to find Christ so I can wear him on Easter Sunday. I got to find Christ so I can wear him on the Christmas service. Come on, somebody. No, he's telling us to put on Christ. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore I die daily. The reason why people are getting so upset is because they're not dying daily. I got to get back to the scripture. I got to finish this. Listen, verse 37. Jesus said, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now, is the Lord telling us not to love our mother and our father and our family? No. What he's saying is, if you choose to be popular over him or if you choose to be in an abusive relationship over him, or you choose to live like the world because your spouse wants to live like the world, or you choose to live like the world because your boss said, listen, I don't want to deal with religion. I don't want to deal with your Christianity. I don't want you praying here. I don't want you bringing your Bible here. And if I catch you with your Bible, catch you praying, catch you doing it and say, you'll lose your job. Listen, and if you choose the job over him, that's what he's saying here. I would, you know what I would say? Fooey on your job. You can take your job because jobs come and go, but there's only one Lord and one Savior. I'm telling you, we got to get a backbone and start living like Christians. Listen what he says. Verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. What does that mean? I'm telling you, listen, the true gospel, when you read this Bible, when I read the New Testament, when I read the Acts of the Apostles, I find men that gave up everything. They gave up livelihoods. They gave up careers. They gave up families. They walked away from everything for the sake of the gospel. Everything. And they gained it all. But then I read in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul began to name people by name. Yes, believe it or not, he named people by name, and he named certain disciples, followers of Christ, who fell away from the gospel. And he named them. And he said, such and such has turned back. Such and such has shipwrecked the faith. Such and such has loved this present world more than the gospel. And you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, and it says that some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctors and devils. Now, how's that happening? Because they're not living their fullness to Christ. They're not giving themselves up. They're not denying themselves. They're not dying daily. Now, I'm going to put this aside. I just want to talk to you for a minute. Listen to me. The enemy in this hour is attempting to bring division in homes through the gospel by turning the hearts of loved ones against one another. If the devil cannot successfully get you to shut up, throw in the towel, or become lukewarm, he will then shift his strategy and begin to attack those you have locked arms with, partnered with, and are yoked with. Oh, I got to say it again. If the enemy can't succeed, because listen, the enemy's, he's sly about how he does this. He comes in. If he can't get you to shut up, throw in the towel, conform to be lukewarm, he will then shift his strategy and begin to attack those who you have locked arms with, partnered with, and yoked with. In other words, he will listen. Guys, if they're not born again and their hearts are not born again, their spirit's not born again, their minds are not transformed, then they are open game for the enemy to come in and convince them of a bunch of junk to come against you. Oh, who do you think you are? You're better than me. Oh, you're just religious now. Oh, I guess we just got to bow down to you. Remember Joseph, when he began to share his dreams, his own parents came against him and said, oh, what are we supposed to do? Bow down to you? You think you're better than us? Joseph never said he was better than them. All he did was, all he wanted to do was reveal a dream that he had, that God revealed to him, that really God was revealing to Joseph his destiny, and he was excited about it, and he thought to himself, listen, if my own parents can't celebrate my destiny, then who can I share it with? And he found out real quick that even your own household could be your enemies. So I'm telling you, friends, it's time. We got to get a backbone. We have to have discernment, and we have to be prepared, because I'm telling you, I see this more and more and more and more. I can't tell you how many people said, you know, Brother Ricky, everything was good until I got saved. And then once I got saved, my husband, it's like something like a switch turned on my husband and he became a different person. You know, everything was good at my job, Brother Ricky, until I gave my heart to Jesus. And then all of a sudden I didn't get the promotion. Then all of a sudden they didn't like me. Then all of a sudden they cut my hours. Then all of a sudden they gave me the pink slip. Oh, come on. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for his name's sake. Listen, no, Peter came to Jesus in the New Testament and he said, if we've left everything for you, what will we gain? And the Lord said unto them, every man that leaves households, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, lands, he said, will gain in this lifetime and the lifetime to come a hundredfold. Listen, there's not a single person in my life that I used to run with right now. Every single person I used to smoke weed with, that I partied with, that I went to the club with, that I did anything with, all in my old life, there is not a single one of them in my circle of influence anymore. Why? Because A, they either got sick of hearing about the gospel, or B, the darkness revolted against the light. Does that mean I don't love them? No. Does that mean I wouldn't do anything for them? No. Because if they called me right now, if they reached out to me right now and they needed something, I would be there for them, because that's what we're supposed to do. But even the Lord said, come out from among them and be separate. And you know what? Many of them turned against me, just like I'm telling you right now. What do you think my stepdad did? Because when I got saved, I was still living with my parents, and I lived in a household that was full of pornography, full of alcoholism, full of verbal, physical abuse. What do you think happened? You think all of a sudden I got saved and I got born again and I stepped back into the house and everything was great and they laid out a welcome mat for me and they celebrated my conversion? No. You know what happened? The devil just turned the heat up a little bit more. So everything began to amplify. He began to tempt me with more of this, and he began to work on more of that. There was more verbal abuse. There was more physical abuse. There was more contention, more strife, more division, more discord. Why? Because again, the enemy was trying to knock me off my post. He was trying to get me to throw in the towel, but I had to, oh, come on, somebody. Oh, man, I just felt like a shift right there by the Holy Spirit. So I feel led to do this right now. Somebody watching this on camera, on podcast, on YouTube, on Facebook, man, I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. You're listening to this and you're saying, well, Brother Ricky, what do we do? I'm in this situation right now. What do I do? What? My job's on the line. My marriage is on the line. My family's on the line. Listen, I'm going to tell you how I made it through. The same way that David said, listen, let me go back to Psalms chapter 1. I quoted it a while ago. Psalms chapter 1. Listen to this. I'm going to tell you how to get through. Ready? This is what you got to do. You got to make up your mind. Listen, blessed is the man. This is Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the path of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Notice he talks about walking, standing, and sitting. Not sitting, not walking, not standing in the path of this. You have to separate yourself from those connections and associations. That's the first thing God's going to call you to do. Listen, and you say, well, these are my family. I get it. Listen, some of my buddies I used to hang with, they were closer to me than my own blood relatives. When I had to separate from them, I cried tears. I was brokenhearted. It took me a long time. But here's what the Lord spoke to me. Watch this. Here's what he said. But your delight has to be in the word and in his presence. Come on. And in it, meditate day and night. And then, listen to me, then you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth its fruit in its season, and your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. So listen, I know it's going to cost you something. Listen, somebody, I need to tell somebody, you're going to lose some friends over the gospel. You're going to lose some family members over the gospel. You're going to lose some influence over the gospel. You're going to lose some things that you like to do in your spare time over the real, true, authentic, unadulterated gospel. I'm not talking about a watered down gospel. I'm not talking about a lukewarm gospel. I'm not talking about a progressive gospel. I'm talking about the Bible gospel, because those kind of gospels, they don't charge you anything. They don't cost you anything. You can live the same life you used to live and still make it into the kingdom according to them, which is a big fat lie. And it's deception. There's going to be a lot of people on a wide and broad path because some preacher taught them behind the pulpit that they can live the same life they used to live and still make it into the kingdom through the coattails of what they call grace. And they're going to find out real quick when they get on the other end of this thing that preacher was lying to them. And not only will that preacher go to hell, but he will lead all those people into a path of destruction. Come on. The Bible says there's a path that seems right unto man, but in the end, it's the way of destruction. So I'm trying to tell you tonight, listen, I want you to get into this word like your life depended on it, literally. Get into his presence. Get into his word. Get into some worship music. Get into the gather together with other believers. Get plugged into a local church. If you don't have a local church, we welcome you. Get plugged in. Get to know some people. Message people here on this Facebook chat, on here, on this chat room, whatever. Get connected. Drive your stakes in. And pursue. Because listen, here's what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with some encouragement. When I lost all my friends, when I wept over that and said, God, these were like family to me, the Lord spoke to me and said, I will replace 100-fold what you had to give up for the gospel. So I held on to that promise. And I can tell you right now that not only do I have more friends than I ever did then, but I'm telling you, I've got some born again, spirit filled, God loving, no compromising, come on, Holy Ghost branded friends and believers that I'm honored to call friends that are in my circle of influence, that not only love Jesus, but come on, they have burned bridges behind him and they know there's no turning back. So I'm telling you, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Start praying it, start believing it, and receive it in Jesus' name. So that's, again, that's what we want to close with today. That's our message for today. I hope this has been a great blessing to you. I hope it's a great word of encouragement. I believe it has been a great word of encouragement and blessing to you guys. And again, this was kind of just really burning in my heart last week, probably on Thursday or Friday. And I knew that this was something that I was going to want to share. So again, listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. That is where we're going to be. That's where you can find us. Please bookmark our main website so you can keep up with our ministry and where we're going. Better yet, again, we want to encourage you to download our free app. It's available on Android and it's available on Apple. Again, it's free. Just type in End Time Headlines, download that Apple, get it into your hands. You right there, literally in your hands, whether it be a tablet or a phone, and you can keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And that'll be right there to you. You'll have your push notifications. So any kind of breaking news or all of our messages, all of our headlines, everything will be there for you guys to have at your fingertips. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has been a continual source of blessing, it's refreshing, encouragement, information, the whole nine yards, we want to give you the opportunity to sow back into this ministry. Help us to continue to spread the gospel around the world internationally, not just local in the States, but we're reaching people outside internationally through the lens of a camera. And you can do that by giving through our app, and you can give electronically. You can go down to the bottom of the app, click on that little donate button, click there, or go to the main website. You're going to see places you can give there as well. And as always, guys, you can give by check or money order. You can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to come on here today and listen to what this old born Kentucky has to say, I live in Georgia now, but I was born in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky. So I'm a Southern at heart, and that's why we keep going farther south. But this is our final place right here is in Georgia. This is where God has led us to. Still praying. You guys keep praying. Listen, they keep kicking our closing date because we're having a house built. They keep kicking our closing date out and out and out because of, listen, COVID is messed up everything. I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you're looking to buy a house, build a house, or you work anything in manufacturing, construction, you already know what I'm telling you. COVID has caused so many delays on materials, equipment, and everything. It's crazy. I talked to a guy who works at Home Depot, and he was talking about it's just absolutely insane. Even appliances, you order appliances, you got to get a refrigerator, stove. You better expect it to be 2 or 3 months out before you can get it. And the reason why is if one person gets sick with the virus, they shut down the whole plant over one person getting sick. It's just insanity. So pray for us because the next date is April 22nd. We are praying and believing and standing in agreement that we will get into our home on April 22nd, and this thing will not be pushed out further anymore in Jesus' name. Come on. So I appreciate your prayers on that. Again, as we pray for you guys, pray for our family, pray for this ministry, and we love you guys. God bless you. Until we see you again on Wednesday, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.